today on Real Radio.
Isn't your motive to please God? And I want to ask you, is it? Why are you here today? Did you have to come here today? You just checking things out? Are you a believer? You call yourself a Christian? Is your walk abounding? Is it your desire in your heart to please God?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church Ought to Walk, begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. You know, it's against human nature to be teachable, and we're prone to easily forget what we've learned. Paul's been teaching the church in great love by repeating important issues of the Christian walk. He wants it to go down deep into their hearts so they can face the trouble that surrounds them with confidence in their faith. Today, Pastor Jack shares how Paul has direct and intentional words for the church. They are to stay away from sexual immorality by the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Having self-control is a way, of course, to please God, and a holy person is an honor to the Lord. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Paul begins there in verse 1 by saying, "Finally, brethren," it's kind of great. He starts the ending now in chapter 4. He's got two more chapters here, 4 and 5 to go through. He says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more as you are received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know that what commandments we gave you through our Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit." I don't know about you, but I remember growing up and having the tendency, and you were probably not like me growing up, but basically wanting to do what I wanted to do. And this is sad to admit, but I remember growing up and having my friends that I was playing with, and if it didn't go my way, I was a spoiled brat, that if it didn't go my way, I would pack up my G.I. Joe action figure and my Tonka trucks that I love dearly, and I would just go find someone else to play with or just go home. And I had no problem with creating my own little reality wherever I was at. I didn't need somebody to play with. If they didn't want to go along with the deal, and I was a stickler about, if we're going to play Tonka trucks, don't bring a Matchbox car. The scale doesn't fit. It really bothered me. On Tuesday, it was Tonka Day. And you don't show up at the play area with a Matchbox car. It just wouldn't work. And they knew the rules. Well, why they did that? That kind of stuff drives me crazy. And so I would just pack up. Look, he brought a Matchbox car. It's a Tuesday. It doesn't work. And if they wanted to say, "Oh, come on, let him play." No, there's no way. And I'd pack up and go. And you say, "What a spoiled, self-centered little guy you were." Yes, I was. And I thank God that I can say was, because Jesus has been beating in the last 18 years that out of my head. But the beautiful thing is, as we go along, God begins to change us. But the fact of the matter is, as we live our lives, we maybe have the tendency to be the kind of people that say, "I want it this way. And if it's not this way, I don't want it anyway but my way, and I'm not going to have it any other way." And we come to a portion of Scripture today where God says, "This is the way that it is." And you might say, "Well, I'm not into that." And this message this morning, I got to tell you right now, we have some seating available here at first service, although it's starting to fill up more and more. Second service, the effects may be more welcome than in any other of those services, and that is you may not be back here next week after this message. And I want to challenge your heart. We've asked the ushers to secure the doors. You can try to leave if you want. It's not going to work. Paul is going to talk to us this morning about how a church should walk, how a church ought to walk in these last days. And things haven't changed at all since this instruction was given. Very important. But we're going to be coming to a portion of Scripture that will cause you to probably be unsettled. And I want you to be very careful concerning the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you feel uneasy this morning, almost feel like a stewardess, you know, with the there's exit doors to your right or to your left, but they will not work, as I've said earlier. If you feel a little uncomfortable this morning, you need to realize that it's God working on your heart. And that He's not someone to run from, because all that He gives us in the way of commands is in love. And the temptation is to grab your toys this morning and run out of here. And I don't want you to do that. You'll be missing what God has in store for you. We're going to look at five practical exhortations that God gives us through His Word, and we'll find them in verses 1 through 8 this morning. Very important that we look at this study. And I want to say this before we jump in. You can look at this study this morning and read into the tone of my voice the Gomer Pyle, Sergeant Carter mentality, and I hope you don't. Where here's goofy Gomer Pyle standing there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Remember us old guys, Gomer Pyle? You looked at me like a moment, like, who? And you know, Gomer would be standing there, and what's Sergeant Carter doing? Just absolutely surrounding him with his mouth, yelling and screaming, and Pyle and the rest of the guys never did anything right. Sergeant Carter just chewed constantly. And if you view this morning's message that way, then you don't know me, and you certainly don't know God's heart, and you don't know this fellowship, because you will be, in fact, mistaking what God is trying to say and what I'm trying to convey. And I got to tell you, I had a pretty rough night trying to sleep last night. Not because I'm struggling to deliver this message. I'm struggling how it is received into your hearts. And I really shouldn't care. It's your responsibility. God is going to say what He says. He says it exactly how He wants it to be. And He doesn't give a halo about what you think about it. And He says it the way He does because He loves us. So we just need to grow up and receive the love that He has for us. Verses 1 and 2, first point. Walking the Christian walk. Paul says, finally then, brethren. This word brethren is very unusual. You ought to underline it in your Bible because Paul's got the same feelings I do this morning. He uses a word that is unique in the New Testament, and it is a term that is brethren as my favorite brethren. And Paul, by the way, had a special heart toward the Macedonian believers, just like you have a heart, special heart toward the Russian believers. Paul had a very, very compassionate heart toward them. The culture that they lived in was unbelievable. And this brand new church, Paul is going to be speaking to them about how to walk, especially in the area of sexual immorality. You go, man, certainly this can't apply to my life today. These are the 90s. Well, let me tell you what was going on back there in the 60s. We're talking the year 61, 62. The Thessalonians, if you grew up in that city, when your daughter or your son reached the age of 13 years of age, it was your privilege and your honor to bundle up your little teen and march them right down to any one of the pagan temples and dedicate your child on that day to the men or the women of the city, dependent upon their preference, for hours of sex with your child. And that culture considered it an honor to do that. It was absolutely a given. Virginity was a mockery, and in fact, it set you out from all the rest of the people there in that community as an absolute freak. We see that happening today. Did you see the news? What is it, 2 weeks ago, where that precious virgin girl was found out to be a virgin in her high school, and a satanic group took her, abducted her, and raped her to death. And they left a note, and they said it was because she was a virgin. How sad. Jesus says that concerning the last days just before His coming, it will be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the kind of culture that this church was coming out of, and Paul is going to instruct them. And he tells them, you guys are my brethren, dear brothers. He's setting them up to tell them what I'm going to say to you is in great love. They had been excessive in the world that was around them. Just like in Judges 17, verse 6, the Bible says, when there's no God and there's no king that follows God, it says there that everyone will do what's right in their own eyes. Very tragic sign. And so Paul is speaking and he says, finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you. To urge is to interrogate. I had an opportunity to meet Wednesday night an FBI, a retired FBI agent that came to the fellowship Wednesday night. And in the FBI and in the CIA and in law enforcement, part of their work is to interrogate. Paul is saying, you precious favorite brethren of mine, now listen to the tone. I'm going to pull you over here and I'm going to interrogate you. He's got a smile on his face and he's going to say to them, I'm going to exhort you. He's not going to scold them. He says, I'm going to interrogate. I'm going to question you right now. I'm going to ask you some things. And I'm also going to exhort. The word near means to call near to me. I'm going to ask you to come near to me, and I'm going to intend to give you comfort. So I want you to hang on to this. He's giving them that firm fatherly love. And so mark this down in your notes. This is the practical exhortation, number one, right here. He says in verse 1 that you should abound more and more just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. That's the first thing right there, that you should abound more and more. And he's talking about a Christian walk, how you ought to walk. And I don't know how you walk. Usually, especially around here, I'm torn between two drives, two sensations. When I'm here, I'm usually walking with a purpose because I've got things to do. And then on Sunday or Wednesday, I try to divorce myself from what I've got to do because I want to leisurely walk in front of you and around you because I don't want to give the impression to you that I'm too busy to stop, that I've got something on my mind rather than you. It's really hard to do. Those of you who are moms, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know how you do. You got the telephone. You got the cordless phone on your chin. You got the vacuum going and you're feeding the baby. I don't know how you do it. Amazing. And I feel like that sometimes. And I don't know how you walk. But I get torn between the two. Example, you go into the mall. Guys, how do we walk? With a purpose. In our family, ask my daughters. I welcome you to do it. Christmas time or birthday shopping, doesn't matter. I've got a purpose. Malls, I think, are probably somewhere, I'm sure, found in the 10th commandments, or in the 10th commandments somewhere not to go to. But when I go there, I go in, I got it. I park out in front of the store that I'm going to hit. And I get out of that car, and I can guarantee you, and Lisa seems to be happy with it, I can Christmas shop for her in and out under 1 hour. And I'll have boxes. And she likes what I got her. I don't know. It's God. I pray and fast before I go in. But I walk with a purpose. And you'll see us guys in the mall. It's just like, to get out of my way, don't bother me, look out. And, you know, here we go. You go in, you grab it, money down, and out. Now, some of you ladies, you don't do it that way. You walk the mall. And it's like, Now, I get like that when I get by the Cinnabon part. But anyway, that's a... Do you have a purpose? And the purpose for some who are shopping is to kind of meander. When he says here that we have a walk, it is a walk with a purpose. And it's the Christian walk. It doesn't mean to stand still. In fact, for the Christian to stand still is to actually backslide. We don't even have to go backwards. We just have to stand still. We are to walk with purpose as a Christian. And Paul is saying in a pagan culture, godlessness, you walk with a purpose. And that word walk is to go, to walk at large, to be going somewhere, not to be meandering around. And you'll get caught into something if you're meandering. That's going to be expensive in more ways than not. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, you know this very well. We sing the song. David said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands. You see, you walk. If you stop walking, you'll stand. Nor stands in the path of sinners. And then if you're standing around, you'll wind up sitting in the seat of the scornful. You keep moving and keep walking. But this word here, to abound more and more, it's a great word. This means to superabound. Now, I don't want to break the stage here this morning, but I mean, to superabound in your walk is to like leap. You know, like a ballet guy. I am not going to do that for you. Normally I would. My back hurts today. I'll do it later. Leap, abound, superabounding. The whole thing suggests that we're growing as believers, that we're moving onward, that we're coming from conversion to discipleship, to ministry, to serving, to discipling others, to ministering to others, and away we go. It's a progressive walk, and we're never allowed to stand still. Are we abounding, is what the Lord would ask us this morning. And by the way, this whole thing, listen as he says, are we abounding? He says, just as you received from us how you ought to walk, and here it is, and to please God, verse 1, down at the latter portion, to please God, that should be our motive. What is he doing right here? Paul knows exactly what he's going to tell them. So he's saying, isn't your motive to please God? And I want to ask you, is it? Why are you here today? Did you have to come here today? You just checking things out? Are you a believer? You call yourself a Christian. Is your walk abounding? Is it your desire in your heart to please God? If your desire is to please God, then you can handle what follows here. If your desire is not to please God, but to be religious, to do some Christian time, you're going to be upset with this. But the motive is issue. I mean, the motive is the issue of the heart and our intentions. Look at verse 2. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Is this the New Testament? It says commandments. That's right, commandments. Oh, brother, he's going to get legalistic on us. You know, the Bible tells us that we are no longer under the law. Do you know what that means? Romans tells us that. The book of Galatians tells us that. It's true. We are no longer under the law. We do not come to salvation and to eternal life by keeping the law. Can't do it. Can't be done. We are no longer under the demand of the law regarding our salvation. But the Christian, by the power, listen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, longs in his heart to fulfill the law of God. Though we do not try to pursue the law of God for salvation, it's impossible. That's why God says concerning the new covenant, the born-again relationship, I will write my law on their hearts. We walk with him in love, and our motive is love, because he commands us. God issues to us commandments. And it's funny, everybody, you know, God, you're going to issue commandments. You know, let me play God for a while, and I'll do my own commandments. You always get to be God. Let me be God for a little bit. And people want to write their own book. Well, listen, he issues to us commandments. And don't rip them off right now in your heart this morning. Know why he issues a commandment. He doesn't sit up there in heaven and go, I just want to make their life miserable. In fact, I only gave them 10. I'm going to make it 20. He doesn't do that. He gives his commands because he loves. And you can view God giving his commandments in some other light, and you're going to be missing his whole nature. He has told you what to do, what not to do, because he loves you. And in your heart and my heart this morning, you either say, God, you tell me exactly what you want me to do. Isn't that your heart? Doesn't your heart beat for that? God, tell me exactly what you want. Don't you get upset with God when he's not saying anything? You want him to tell you what to do? I do. You're not saying anything. I want him to tell me what to do. I love it. And then there's people, maybe, and they say, you know what, God, I don't want you, you just come out of your little box Sunday at 7:45. You can hang around a little bit, but you make sure you get in that box, 9 o'clock. You don't know him. And if you knew him, you'd say, God, speak, say, I'll do anything you want me to do. It's a wonderful way to live. But this word command is a military term. It means to give instructions concerning an attack. It's a briefing. This is what we're going to do. There's a war going on, and this is what we're going to do. It's going to issue a command. This is how we do not lose the war. Are you ready, people? This is how we don't lose the war. This is the command. And it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. The second thing I want you to see right here is found in verse 3, and that is how God wants us to walk. This is his walk for us. He says, for this is the will of God. You ought to underline that. Everybody wants to know, what's God's will for my life? Well, here it is. You ready? It's right out here. I mean, can you believe it? It's right in print. You don't have to guess. You don't have to fast and pray to find out. This is God's will. Even your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's God's will. So His will is, first of all, that we be sanctified. Sanctification. The word means, I'm going to read it to you. It's tremendous word. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to, number one, set apart a man or a woman from the world for the purposes of God by a moment-by-moment growth. But also, number two, to enable that man or that woman to be recorded as a holy person in the sight of God in the finished work of Christ. You are not only sanctified the moment you are born again, set apart for God, but God in your day-to-day living sets you apart from the ways of the world. And it is a growth of maturity, though you are very saved and you're very sanctified before you even begin this wonderful walk. And the reason why that's true is because Jesus died for me. He died for you. And because He died for you, you can now live for Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can jot this down in your margin, jump ahead for a moment to chapter 5, verse 23. And the reason why I'm going to give you this verse is so you understand this clearly, that we're not talking about a works-centered salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace Himself, that is God, of course, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God does the work. God does the work. And by the way, people, if there's no sanctification in your life, no personal holiness, then you're living exactly like the world is living today, people. To be sanctified, in the context of the study, they were given over to sexual passion. And Paul says, you've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Don't live like that anymore.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Walk. Thanks for listening today, and please be encouraged. There is perfect love for us behind every commandment of God. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, did you know that you can get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? That's real easy to do. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can point and you can click and find that app for your smartphone or tablet. But there's an easier way to do it. Just go to your app store, whether you're an Apple user, an Android, Google, whatever. Just go to the app store and look for the Real Life app. Let's say you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're at the registry of motor vehicles or something along those lines, and you've got plenty of time to kill. Well, I'll tell you what, a great way to spend that time would be with the Real Life app. Check out what's going on here at Real Radio. And listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love the videos that he does. There's a whole video section. We've got radio section, the devotional section, resources available for you. I'm just looking at the website myself right now. There's a section right there at our website. Look for the Real Life app. Direct yourself to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Point and click. Get exactly what you need. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. You can look for specific lessons. You can look for specific topics if you'd like. And while you're there, be sure to check out the videos that Pastor Jack makes. Listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love seeing him on the TV or on the computer screen. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Catch up on some programs that you might have missed. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.